Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Just got to keep the party going.
Okay. Partying, partying, yeah.
That's the lyric.
Yeah. Fun, fun. To the week.
I'm just so used to the beginning. I don't consider the next.
Partying, partying, yeah.
Yeah, partying, partying, yeah.
It just repeats itself a lot.
Some of the best songs do.
It's true. It's true. So
what
it's,
do you see
it's
the 1950s and 1960s.
But it also feels like I fell out. I ran out of things to say about the weekend.
Do you think it's like when you write a thank you note or a Christmas or birthday card and you're getting close to the bottom and you don't want to flip it over?
Right.
So you just wrap it up.
Yep. Just wrap it up.
The print gets a little smushed and smaller. That's her lyric.
The gist.
She's at the last page of her lyric book. Like, I don't want to crack a whole new book for one more page.
Partying, et cetera. Partying, et cetera.
Yeah, repeat. There's arrows. Go back to this line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would
it saves space.
Makes the most sense.
That's probably why. Also, she was what, 12?
That's it. There was a bunch of other doodles and stickers in that same book.
Yeah.
She didn't realize, like, she had a hit on her hand. It's like, ah, crap, I'm out of space.
This is not going to live in infamy forever.
Do you think she looks back on that like, I could have added more lyrics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because she's like an adult now. She's like a real artist now.
She is?
Uh-huh.
Or do we know that?
I don't think it's, like, main stage, but she's opening at the county fair, you know?
I would love to go see her at a fair. At not like the big stage at a casino, but the one like next to the poker bar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm there with you.
Where she's trying to find relevancy
just
again.
Just out of interest. How you doing?
Oh, it's morbid curiosity.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more than interest.
Yeah.
I'm going in feeling sad for her.
She's fine.
Well, if she's got her residuals figured out, right?
Absolutely.
If you get the one hit, you're good.
That's all you need.
And she does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Artist, man, just one. All you need is one big hit.
That's what they all strive for. And you want it while you're alive, too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why
in the world of painting, it seems like that one you got to die.
Yeah.
More than any of the other ones.
Ups the value right away.
Yeah.
Man, if you want to be a painter.
And cash in, you got to cash out.
It is much more profitable if you are dead.
Yeah.
Man, that's a hard.
It's a hard truth. Yeah. I like to call those Friday hard truths.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
That's why we stick to business.
Yeah, that's safer, and you don't have to die right away.
And we also use Ben as our prop up.
He's the front man.
He's the
front and the back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
You got it.
He's the front and the back.
He works both sides of the company. He's front facing and employee facing.
Yes.
I think that's the actual business terminology, right? He's part of the user experience, and he also serves internal customers.
Yeah, that's why we appreciate him.
Yeah, for sure.
He does it all.
Is he so even here hats. Today?
He's here.
Is he behind me?
He's behind you. He's behind
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And he's listening.
Yeah, what?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now we're in trouble. And new survey of grandparents asking them about their favorite baby names.
Interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you'll have a new grandkid in your life, and maybe it's not a name you would have picked. Names tend to change generationally, right?
Generationally, or pop culture, right? So like, this is my grandson, Kinnick.
Which is also a regional thing, right?
It's totally regional, totally. Geographic, yeah.
New survey says 69% of grandparents thinks it's okay to give your opinion.
I would think 100% of grandparents think it's okay to give your opinion.
I love giving my opinion. But sometimes, you know, it's just like, baby's here.
Are they giving it in the birthing suite?
I don't know.
Or just like within a week of it coming home?
It depends on the couple whether you tell people what the name is going to be.
Right.
Or whether baby is here and yeah. This is baby's name. Some people approach that differently. But a random list of names that grandparents tend to hate, according to this survey.
Okay.
Aurora.
Agreed.
Charlotte.
Uh-oh.
How could you hate that name?
They must have all been beaten up by a Charlotte in their grade school days.
It goes back to something you yeah. experienced.
I hope Nellie's on this list. Right?
Why Nellie?
From Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, my.
Not Band-Aid on the cheek, Nellie.
I was like, you've never told me about your bully, Nellie. Why did she beat you up, Eric? Why was it so
no,
terrible?
I'm going back to Pioneer days.
Oh, okay.
That's my only guess for Charlotte. Like, they had a mean teacher named Charlotte.
Back in the day.
Ms. Charlotte.
That's a beautiful name.
It's
Charlotte's
a great
Web.
Name.
Hello.
I have a Charlotte. Who's a cousin? I married a Charlotte.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you married a Shannon.
No, I... Well, see, welcome to the world of verbs.
Right. You
I officiated the wedding of my cousin named Charlotte.
Charlotte to somebody else.
Yes.
The name Elijah?
Elijah?
That's like biblical. How can grandparents hate that?
Do they hate the name Jesus?
It's also on the list. No, but Jack.
Jack?
How can you hate the name? It's so basic.
It's also got a very grandparenty, like you used to hang out. You probably have friends named Jack. You probably play golf with a guy named Jack.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe it's, it's because I know a guy.
Jack cheats at golf and Jack's wife cheats at cards. That's why they like Jack. There it is.
There it is.
Run this through the Gilmore filter and then it will make a lot more sense.
Ah, yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
Is there any other like name?
Lindsay.
Lindsay?
Noah.
Biblical.
Why? Why do grandparents hate these names? According to a survey.
I'm guessing at the time, they're thinking it's too trendy. It's like, well, I thought my kids were more creative and they just went trendy or they went popular. Is that it?
I don't know.
Do they hate the name of the kid or do they actually secretly hate their own children?
Maybe they just...
That's my question.
Anything my kid picks, I'm just not going to like it.
It could be that.
It's just, this is a grumpy list. Guys,
it is. Well, you know.
Get on board. That's the kid's
when
name.
When you get to that age to be a grandparent, you can say what you want to say.
I guess.
Been there, done that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Here's my grandson, Noah. He's a weirdo.
I hate that name.
I hate that name.
Just keep it to yourself.
Charlotte. Ugh. Hey, can you watch Charlotte this weekend? No.
No. Because I hate the name.
I hate the name. What about Jack? Don't even start.
Oh, Jack cheese and card.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
What's on your mind this morning?
Oh, me. Yeah. Sorry.
You're good.
I got so wrapped up in my thoughts. I was talking to my daughter last night, and she's having one of those living with regret moments. You know, do you ever hate that feeling of like, I wish I would have done this or I wish I would have said that?
Yes.
It's the worst, right? And only I can help correct it because last weekend, we had a very busy, busy weekend. One of the things that we did get to do is we stopped off at a park, did a little bit of playing, got some energy out. And as we were leaving, we were in the car and trying to leave the park. I'm backing up. And the minute I hit reverse, we hear the music. Oh, man, Mom, we can't leave. The ice cream truck just got here. The ice cream truck's at the park. Mom, please. And I had to be mean in that moment. And I had to say no. Because we were on our way to the next thing. We had to get to my sister-in-law's house. I already texted and said, we're on our way. Meet you in 5 minutes. Like, that's what we're doing next. We don't have time for ice cream.
Sometimes life just has crappy moments.
Yeah.
It's crappy for you because you probably wanted to stop.
I did.
For them because they clearly wanted you to not leave.
I know.
But you had to go. Had to go.
Yeah. And it was the first spotting of the season.
Yeah.
So weirdly, we were kind of, you know, breaking things down as we're going into a weekend. And I was like, well, I know that there's some things that we have to do this weekend. Tonight, we're going to see Hairspray at Theta Cedar Rapids. Very excited about that. it's like I was telling my daughters for the first time. They're like, oh, we are? Oh, okay. Cool. Glad that you know.
Glad you're not paying attention.
Apparently. But I was like, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, ice cream. Just want to have the ice cream truck drive by our house. So like, I'm supposed to call them?
No, you're supposed to manifest it.
I'm putting it out into the universe.
Summon.
Ice cream truck. We need to see you this weekend.
Because you're not going to, many companies locally will let you book one.
Yeah.
But that's not
that's
worth.
That's cheating.
Well, that's not cheating. That's solving a problem. That's solving a problem. Why is that cheating?
No.
That is not cheating. It's an expensive answer.
It is.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
It's not worth paying for that. And then the four of you get your order. Like, do you want to leave now? You've only been here for 2 minutes. You'd be the hero of the neighborhood.
I would.
But I hope it drives by you. And in their mind, it can't be you know, Parlor City, northeast side of Cedar Rapids by my house. It's like, you got to have a truck.
I want the ice cream truck, you know, the novelty, the weird SpongeBob with the black bubblegum eyes. Yeah.
Well, the good news is this is ice cream truck weekend weather, right?
It is.
61, partly sunny Saturday, Sunday 67, mostly sunny. You might just need to drive around with the windows down and just keep listening for that.
You know what? There might be one at Freedom Festival is in Green Square today.
Quite high possibility. Aha! There's also a food truck component to what's happening with my fest tomorrow.
That's right.
So go to where the trucks are.
Okay. It is highly likely that you these kids are going to get some ice cream from a white panel van.
High odds. Sketchy van.
I got good news, kiddos.
Sketchy ice cream. Okay. Dancing Eric Hansen. It rolls off the tongue. It
sure
rhymes
does.
Beautifully.
Love it.
It doesn't rhyme. But I like the rhythm and the meter of what I want to introduce as my new nickname. Are you ready?
I think so.
Big Box Office Hansen.
Big Box Office Hansen?
Big Box Office Hansen. What do you think about Big Box Office Hansen? I think it's fantastic.
It sounds like you're about to say Big Butt Hansen, but sure, Big Box Office.
I like Big Box Office Hansen. No?
And I cannot lie. Were you in a movie?
No, I wish. I've been in movies, but they're not big box office. They're not even big rent to own. No, I got to Thunderbolts lit yesterday.
You did it!
Yeah, apparently a bunch of our wives are all in Myrtle Beach at the same time. It was just a lot of single dudes, which was just, hello, my brethren. That was great. So that will hands down be the number one movie this weekend, right?
It has to be.
And I'm going tomorrow to Sinners. Which has been the number one movie the last 3 weeks.
Yes, it has.
So, Big Box Office Hansen, man. That's me. I'm going to the big ones.
Because you're going to the movies?
Yeah, the big ones, though.
The big ones.
Big Box Office Hansen.
He doesn't see small independent
films.
Sorry.
Keep your art house in the house. I'm going to Big Box Office Movies because I'm Big Box Office Hansen. By the way, Thunderbolts, solid B+. The second post-credit scene, A++++. If you are a Marvel fan and have been following along.
So you have to go through it.
You have to watch everybody's name.
And then,
yes.
And then you get something really good.
It's 2 hours like, oh, that's pretty decent. And then it's like, what did they just do?
What?
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
Pete Buttigieg is coming to Cedar Rapids. Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg will take part in a town hall with the veterans organization Vote Vets, May 13th. That's a Tuesday in Cedar Rapids. The event marks Buttigieg's first public in-person appearance since leaving office earlier this year. Washington insiders believe this is a first, albeit baby, step in possibly exploring a run for the White House.
Hmm.
He has recently passed on opportunities to run for governor and senator. So that also makes people wonder. 5:30. And I don't know if that's start time, doors time, time, Miller time, whatever time.
Miller time.
It's just saying 5:30 and it does not say where yet.
Okay.
So we're waiting on the very specifics of where would you host a town hall? And is it, I've attended a few of these as a member of the press.
Yeah.
And usually it's like you get there at 5:30 and like they don't show up till 8, right?
Sometimes, what?
Well, you've never gone to one of these rallies
I
before?
Have, but it was timely.
It's maybe
a half an hour.
Oh, really? Well, if there's a lot of speakers ahead of time, too. I don't know what's on the dossier, right? What's on the docket. I got a job fair to tell you about today. Cedar Rapids Community School District hosting a hands-on recruitment event for bus drivers today. When I say hands-on, you get to drive a bus.
That's hands-on.
Starts at noon, goes till 4:30. It's all taking place at Kingston Stadium.
So whether you have the special CDL
Let's start with this. You got to have a valid driver's license to attend.
Okay.
And you're driving in a parking lot. Much like I learned how to drive a stick shift, where I didn't even have a driver's license, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going on the road. It's not a test drive of a bus, but it's to understand how the thing works.
How does it handle?
Do you like the feeling of that?
Yeah.
Do you like, I have to watch this mirror and these mirrors and these kids and doors and lights and buttons.
And you're going through.
Sit down back there. Yeah.
Streets and, yeah.
All of it. So test drive a school bus with the guidance of a certified trained driver. Learn about the hiring and also the paid training process. You get paid to be trained to do this.
Hmm.
Meet current drivers firsthand, what the job's really like. I'm guessing there'll be a lot of unicorns and roses, but there'll be some honest talk too, right?
Yeah.
On-site transportation team's going to be there. You can apply and interview right there. And if you go early, free lunch.
Hey.
So.
That's today.
12 till 4:30 at Kingston. You might want to check the Cedar Rapids Community School District website because I'm sure there's a lot more that I left out than I put in. Just, I want you, if you're going, know before you go what is all involved. But yeah, you might be driving a school bus this fall. Just a second, I dropped it.
It really fell low.
Got it.
Okay.
And it was squat week, so that hurt twice.
It's like, are you going to come back up? You looked like you were really in pain.
Eventually, I kept my form though. I didn't bend over. I squatted down.
He squatted.
That's how you're supposed to do it. The University of Iowa's Writers Program has received a donation of $250,000, a quarter of what they lost.
Wow.
Due to the recent funding cuts from the U.S. State Department, the money comes from a philanthropist out of Sarasota, Florida. He's known for funding arts and community organizations and just wrote him a check for $250,000. The goal, of course, is this to inspire others to make donations to the program. The Writers Workshop will be allocating that funding for their fall programming and their incoming class of both writers and poets. The Writers Workshop lost nearly $1 million when the State Department said that doesn't meet our new goals, and that funding was pulled in February. So a nice little, I'd call that an angel investment.
Yeah.
Kind of came from the heavens, but it was good news for Iowa City.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
I feel like the older Tom Cruise gets, the more and more I wonder how he is able to pull off all of the stunts that he does on his own, because it's incredible, especially for his Mission Impossible movies. He'll be hanging off buildings.
Airplanes.
In
the air.
In Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, there's a scene where he hangs and crawls on the wings of a 1940s era biplane. You know, with the two wingy things. 120 miles an hour. Like, that is the speed with which the plane is flying. And he is hanging, crawls on the wing. Like, how do you prepare to do something like that? First, it's like, you got to get over the mental hurdle, right?
The mental hurdle alone.
That would be hard. He is totally there. He's done stuff so many times, like, that's not the challenge. The challenge is, how do you physically prepare? And it starts, friends, with breakfast.
So if you're getting up on Friday, May 2nd, and you know you have to hang from a plane going 120 miles per hour,
yeah.
What are you having for breakfast?
Okay, well, you got to take a couple things into consideration. It's cold up there. The altitude is high, and your body is burning a lot. So Tom Cruise says that's going to take a lot of energy.
So it's like the Michael Phelps diet? Like, yeah. Thousands of calories?
Kind of, but okay. This is a normal breakfast. It's just the amounts. So he's going to have sausage. He's going to have a dozen eggs. He's going to have bacon and what was weird?
A dozen eggs?
He said,
in one sitting?
Almost a dozen eggs and bacon and toast and coffee and fluids. Oh, I'm eating. Yeah, you
are. That sounds like a hotel continental breakfast, but like, nobody else can have the food but me.
You eat a hotel style,
yes,
continental breakfast.
All the eggs.
Uh-huh.
12 eggs.
He's also, you know, obviously he's been training. So he did wind walking training, and then he fuels up, eats like that. And he also tries to just vary his skills. Like, he's not just training to do the airplane things. He's always training his body to do different things, whether it's piano or dance. Tom Cruise dances.
Really?
He's a big fan of the benefits of dance. He said, I'm interested in the art form. The teachers understand how to move the body, what shapes it does,
yeah,
and the emotion that it can create in other people.
I've seen that a lot in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take dance for just that reason.
I don't know about the emotion part, but it's, you know, it's beautiful.
It's also beautiful.
It is beautiful. Gwyneth Paltrow has got your back with her Mother's Day Goop gift guide, which is for a variety of different mothers, let me tell you, because there's like absolutely approachable things like a $25 memory journal.
That's easy?
That's an easy, great idea, sure. But then there's the ridiculously extravagant. Would you get your mom a $17,000 necklace?
No.
My Lord, Gwyneth. Oh, my Lord.
Even my dad wouldn't get her that either, right?
Right.
Like, as a spouse Mother's Day gift, no. $17,000?
Yes. And one of the suggestions is also something called the Womanizer Enhance.
Where does that go on the body? Point at the doll.
Lower,
higher, right there.
Really? Who is
what I call between the belly button and the kneecaps?
That is correct.
Okay.
Who is going to get
for mom?
That kind of a device for your mother. I mean,
does it come with batteries?
Thanks, Gwyneth. I don't know, but it is the low price of $159.
How much is the charging station?
It's got a charge port. It's convenient.
Guys, it's Bluetooth, USB.
Mom, check this out. Mom, look what I got you. Mom. So weird. Okay, we never got a second season of Hawkeye with Jeremy Renner.
No, I really enjoyed it. It followed up on, I do get lost in the old Marvel timeline. But he basically takes his family to New York for the holidays, and his past kind of catches up with him.
Ooh.
And he also trains a young archer named Kate Bishop at the same time. So to me, it was more of a plot device to launch this new character.
Uh-huh.
But I would love to see a season two.
Season two, not going to happen. And Jeremy Renner revealed why. Is because when they approached him for season two, they offered him half the amount of his season one salary.
Well, that's just dumb, Disney.
It's just dumb. It also hurt his feelings a little bit because it was after his snowplow accident.
Yeah.
And 2023, and he's like, wow, it's gonna take me twice the amount physically of work for half the amount of money, 8 months of my time, and essentially half the amount is what you're offering me.
That
I'm
makes
sorry
no sense.
Why do you think I'm only half of the Jeremy because I got ran over? You want to pay me half of what I made in the first season? It just doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense. I understand if maybe you're not going to be in as many episodes, right? Maybe it's kind of like how your character exits the universe.
They were launching that other character to...
Yeah, that makes a ton more sense.
Maybe.
But you gotta pay the guy.
But for him,
he's hit a threshold at this point.
Physically, I can't pull that off. And he's not blaming Marvel and he's not blaming Disney. He's just blaming accountants, you know, penny-pinching accountants. He told them to go fly a kite, basically.
I mean, it is... a business, first and foremost, right?
He'd still love to do it because he loves the character. But he said, bottom line, I had to defend myself. I didn't ask for more money, mind you. He wasn't like point, counterpoint. Just
so like bring me back at my base, what I'm used to receiving.
Exactly.
I've done like, these movies, yes.
Give me my base salary. Give me what you gave me in season one.
I'm also wondering if he was under contract and that first TV show was included in that contract and that was already negotiated.
Right.
And now it's like, welcome to new contract.
In the new contract,
do more for less.
Half.
Yes.
Pass. Solid pass.
Thanks, no thanks.
Good for you for sticking up for yourself.
I do agree. I would love to see a cameo. We got some movies coming up. TV shows maybe can pop in there.
Absolutely.
But I totally get it.
Agreed. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Week number 18 of the year 2025.
Our birthday month.
It is our birthday month. 3.5 weeks away.
Exciting stuff.
It is fun. As we broadcast from a latitude of 41.88 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west at an elevation of 840 feet, this is Nerd News. 40,000 homes soon to be powered by sun in our area. A new solar facility in Palo is now officially online.
Hmm.
You may have heard when this was under some rumblings, I think it had to get Linn County approval. It was referred to as the Dwayne Arnold Solar Project.
Yeah.
As in Dwayne Arnold, who had the power plant there, was going to own it. Alliant Energy has taken it over.
Oh.
And it's now known as the Pleasant Creek Solar Field of solar panels.
How pleasant.
It's 1,100 acres of solar panels. It's the largest solar field in Iowa. The wattage should power 40,000 homes annually. What's 40,000 homes? Iowa City.
Wow.
Iowa City's population is 75,000 people, and if an average house has 2.3 whatever people in it, that's Iowa City. That's what that will power.
Huh.
In all, Alliant Energy harnesses 1,700 megawatts of energy through solar and wind in our state. So I did some math, nerd math. That's the equivalent to 425,000 microwave ovens all making Easy Mac at the same time.
Dang.
That's a lot of power.
Question though.
Yeah.
Will that mean our bills will go down because it's
never
the sun?
Never.
but Eric,
it should.
In the next 10 years after we pay off the solar panels.
I don't know. I think the way to make money with solar or pay less is to put them on your house yourself. And that is just one dude's opinion. I don't know even how that works.
I
tell you this, our neighborhood is prime right now for these dudes knocking on my door trying to like, you've heard about the solar project.
Hey.
I'm like, you're just wanting to sell me something and you look shady. You want me to buy solar for my house, I'm not buying it from a guy at my door, right? If you play for an area high school football team and you want to sell me a coupon book, I'm in.
Okay.
Because I know who you are and I know where you play football. If you want to knock on my door and try to sell me a solar panel for my house,
he is not here in the door.
You want to go
salesman.
To my backyard and look at my, no, leave now. There are days I like having a big barky dog, and those are those days.
Get off his lawn.
I love it. I love that Alliant doing it. And outside of reading big numbers, I don't know much about it.
Huh.
Nerd news.
Nerd news.
An Iowa museum owner says she believes she's broken a Guinness World Record. I'm just going to celebrate these. I'm okay. Just going to go in.
Good for you.
And hug all the world record holders in Iowa. Sure, her spoon collection, 38,162. Her name is Cammie Pohl. I actually called her yesterday. She owns the Mississippi Spoon Gallery in Davenport. You can go and look.
Wait, so she owns the museum?
Yes.
And they happen to be her own personal spoons?
Yes.
What?
Which part are you confused by?
So did she just start a spoon collection and then said, I'm going to call this a museum?
Bam. That's it. Yeah.
All right.
That's
right.
Totally it.
All right.
It's kind of like if you ever go to House on the Rock, it's technically a car and doll museum with some cool architecture on the front side of it.
Huh.
And then like he was really big into like penny arcade items too.
Yeah.
It's really about the collections that person had. And then they also had a really cool house. So yeah, it's the same concept. 38,162 spoons, which they know that number, by the way. 24 people helped count in 5 hours. They cataloged everything.
Oh.
And she's going to submit it to the Guinness people. And when I called her, I said, hey, Cammie, how does this work? Because we want to work with Guinness. And everything Guinness tells us is you got to pay to play.
Yes, you do.
And she's like, I'm not entering the like largest museum collection. I'm entering as a personal world record. And here's what I've come to find. If it's personal, you don't have to pay for it.
Interesting.
That seems to be the big difference with our dear, dear friends at the Guinness Corporation.
Can we personally have a bunch of people get together?
But I will tell you this. It's pretty impressive. 38,162 spoons. Teaspoons, salt spoons, mustard spoons, spoons from the Gilded Age, even a silver spoon from China shaped like a dragon that has four
Whoa.
Feet. The tongue comes out, or the spoon is out of the mouth of the dragon. That's 200 years old.
That's cool.
This all came about when her great-grandmother would have tea parties with her when she was little and gifted her 127 spoons.
Aww.
That's how the whole collection got together.
What a sweet record.
It's a sweet, sweet story and a sweet record. And we were talking about working with Guinness, and she's like, I have to upload photos of everything. I have to upload documentation of everything. It's going to take her hours upon hours to try to get the record, but she thinks she's got it.
She's going for it.
So we wish her great luck. Okay. What will everybody be drinking at the backyard barbecue this summer? I know the hottest RTD right now. This is an industry term.
Okay, what is an RTD?
An RTD is a ready-to-drink beverage.
Oh, ready-to-drink.
It's a canned seltzer or cocktail that you don't have to mix.
Love it.
It's already in there.
Those are my fave.
Do you want to pick the flavor? Do you want to just take a guess? You want me to throw you some ideas?
Ready-to-drink. I mean, we already did the seltzer thing, though. Mixed cocktail.
Yes.
Gin and tonic. Please. Please.
It's not gin and tonic.
Dang
Good
it.
Guess,
That's
though.
That's my go-to.
Vodka lemonades.
Oh, summer.
The
yeah.
flavor of the summer is going to be vodka lemonades. Industry analysts have been tracking what's in warehouses and what's been launched in the last 2 months. And everybody's going all in on vodka lemonade. And the reason for it dates back to 2022. There was a company called Surfside. I got to stop and remind people. So seltzers, that's a carbonated seltzer yeah. beverage. Mike's Hard Lemonade has no lemonade in it at all. It's lemonade flavor malt liquor.
Hmm.
That's where the old Smirnoff and Zima came from, right?
Yeah.
It tasted like one thing, but that was the actual alcohol product was a malt liquor. Laws have since changed that you can vodka and lemonade and probably a preservative, non-carbonated, and sell it, right? So this is what an RTD is.
Huh.
And a company in 2022 found the niche, and it was their vodka lemonade. The product category alone grew 563% in a year. They went from selling none to a million cases in a year.
This is their summer.
So now Budweiser's on it. Boston Beer Company, the Sam Adams people, they're going to get in on it. Ernest and Julio Gallo, who you think of like old wine guys,
yeah,
they own High Noon. they're getting in on it too.
Oh.
So your major drinks that you're already used to seeing these labels, now watch for a line of not hard lemonade, but vodka lemonades. Per science, per industry research, that's where everybody's putting their money.
Should we be buying them? Are they going to like up the price?
You want to invest in the company?
Yeah.
Or Producer Ben's vodka lemonade stand. Maybe that's where the money is.
Adults only.
That's right. Are you 20? It's still made with a lot of poster board and cardboard.
Producer Ben's vodka lemonade stand. Adults only. Pay up front.
Pay up front. We got to show us your ID, please.
It's the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
Z102.9.
Yeah, we are back with a big old wheel of useless knowledge.
Yeah, you know what? We are sponges for information. A lot of it is useful, but some of it, not so much. I keep everything. I just box it up, and Producer Ben brings in those big boxes of information, and we spin a wheel and just randomly give you a little fun fact.
Give you a couple of fun facts.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get the first fun fact unless we spin the wheel.
Spin it. Good spin. Good spin action.
I just finished my protein snack.
That's it.
Monterey Jack cheese. A little dark chocolate in there.
There's lots of protein. Cheese and chocolate.
Cheese and chocolate, man.
Yeah, man.
And there was some dried cranberries. Oh, three, by the way. And banana chips.
That is useless information.
That's what I just ate.
Eric's snack.
That's your first bit of useless knowledge. Now here's another bit of useless knowledge.
That's the unofficial useless. Here's the official useless knowledge.
It does not. Whatever I just said, don't bring up in conversation this weekend. Nobody will care. Well, you gasped.
Sorry. Useless. But this week, you spotted a coyote.
Twice.
On our front lawn.
I swear to God, I saw one. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I told
Monday,
you.
Monday, my tent of marvels. And you're like, it's a dog. No, I'm pretty sure it's a coyote because that exact same animal ran through the front lawn of this radio station yesterday afternoon. I will swear on a Bible that was a coyote.
Well, I don't know nothing about that coyote.
Yeah.
But the most famous coyote.
Wile E. Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote. Yes. Do you know what the E stood for?
No, I don't think I ever knew.
Stands for Ethelbert.
So his first name was Wile. Ethelbert.
Ethelbert Coyote. Coyote. Full name. They were going to call him Don Quixote.
I love that
Don
as well.
Coyote.
Right.
In honor of Don Quixote. But they went with
Wile Ethelbert Coyote. Coyote. All of those letters you wrote to the Acme company, just think of the return address.
Oh my gosh.
That poor guy.
So much.
Just don't look at it. It's like the sun.
Freaks me out.
Yeah, I know, but it does great work. Just never stare directly at the lights. Five, please.
Number five. Let me get that. Oh, five. How appropriate. There is a word to describe a half decade. 5 years.
Yeah.
You know,
what's
a decade
that?
Is 10 years. 5 years.
Is it penta something?
It's a lustrum.
That's just a random word. A lustrum?
A lustrum.
All right, is it ill lustrum?
No, it's just lustrum.
So you're saying ah.
Yeah.
Lustrum.
So but you have to say a. It's been a lustrum since I saw you.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library started a lustrum ago.
Yes.
5 years ago.
One lustrum
in Marion.
Ago. Yeah.
Do we say it?
I don't know. I don't know enough about this word to use it correctly.
Lustrum.
Lustrum.
Also, that doesn't seem like that fits anything.
And you're right. It should be a penta something.
Pentrustum. No, lustrum's fine. This one.
Sounds kind of.
I'm doubting this one.
Dirty.
Why does it sound dirty?
Lust. Lustrum. I don't know.
Is it how long people typically pine for another person? It's about 5 years.
You'll get over them about 5 years.
Yeah, we had a major breakup about 5 years ago, so the lust is gone. I lustrum. It's kind of like I lost them,
yeah.
But I lustrum.
I lustrum.
I lust. Goodbye. One more time around.
Woo!
Oh, what the heck? One more time around.
Yay!
Right round. Lustrum.
Lustrum.
Really, lustrum. Hey, how about six?
Number six?
Pile right next to five.
Oh, perfect. Ventriloquism?
I kind of secretly like it.
I bet you do. That seems like it's right up your alley. A guy who likes being a mascot. Have you always wanted to have a dummy on your hand, or have you always wanted to be the dummy that somebody speaks through?
Oh, that's a hard question to answer.
How do I choose?
Do I want to be the dummy or control the dummy?
You want to control. Don't...
Well, based on this room, let's guess what role is what. So ventriloquism, eh?
Ventriloquism actually started in ancient Greece.
It did?
As a religious practice.
No.
Yeah. They called it gastromancy, and they believed that the ventriloquist was getting messages from spirits in their stomach, and then that was being revealed to the world through the dummy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, go on, kill everybody.
No!
What? Don't say that!
No! Bad doll! Bad dummy!
Hey, little Aristotle, what's up with that?
I say get him.
What?
What?
They had ventriloquist dolls in ancient
They're theatrical
Greece?
People. I get the theater of it, but you believe a message came from the evil spirits and went in my stomach and then came back out my mouth like,
a volcano is going to kill
Not
all
your
us.
Mouth, the dummy's mouth.
A volcano.
Oh, volcano is a hard word. It's a ventriloquist.
A volcano.
You're not a good ventriloquist, just so we're all clear.
I'm doing it on the radio.
A volcano.
Just because you're speaking
A volcano.
I could have done it just normal, and you wouldn't have known the difference.
Nobody would know.
No, they would not have known. You're right, Eric.
You're clenching so hard. It's like, clearly, that guy's up to something.
I'm opening up for Jeff Dunham at the fair.
How does he want a steak?
Oh, my goodness.
Stay on the sick side of the ledger, please.
But a bonus for us.
Yes.
Oh, this is a great bonus, because this weekend... Tomorrow is the Kentucky Derby.
It is?
Yes.
I don't know why this year it's sneaking up on me.
I know, it is.
Usually I pay attention to these things. I don't know what it is.
I'm completely disconnected. In the 150 races of the Kentucky Derby,
yeah,
there have only ever been three fillies. The female horses?
Thank you for explaining that.
I know. I saw the blank look in your eye. I get it.
What's a male horse? If we have fillies, and this is like, what, just a horse?
Well, there's the geldings.
Yeah, those are babies. Nope, those are colts.
No, they've been.
Geldings are like people who've been married a long time.
Yeah.
They've been stripped.
Yes.
Okay.
They've been stripped.
Stripped.
There's only ever been three female horses to
win
the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
Regret in 1915.
Okay.
Genuine Risk in 1980.
Yeah.
And Winning Colors in 1988. And the last time a filly raced in the Derby was 2010, and there are no fillies.
This year.
Huh.
And I still don't know what a male horse is called. Wait, let me ask my dummy.
You know what? Stick to the stuff I gave you, and don't try to prove that you have any... horse information.
Hey, little Aristotle,
that.
What's a baby? What's a male horse called?
I don't know.
Stick to your ventriloquism act.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at kzia.com.
Okay. Have a good day.